Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rapp, an iHeartRadio and People's Choice Award nominated podcast. Hello.
Teddy can't hear anything.
Oh.
Did you get it?
Yeah. We're off to a rocky start. Hello, everybody. We are scrubbing in, and I mean, let's just get right to it. We have Teddy Mellencamp in the building.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
You brought us a special guest.
Well, you know, I had to bring around my hunky husband for the workout. It was important.
We just had
Thanks
a really good work.
Him.
Yeah.
Thanks for having him. Did you say having
no,
him?
No, having me. Having us. I was going to say having us, having me.
You guys, I'm obsessed with the two of you.
Really?
Yeah. Because, Teddy, you are on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You have amazing children. You have your own accountability program that I am a part of. And Edwin, you started your company from the ground up. You have an amazing story. And also, you have such a great marriage, but you're so good individually. Like, I just truly admire both of you individually. And I think it's really cool when two powerhouse people come together because you build an empire.
Thank you. I think the biggest thing for us is we are constantly telling each other it's one foot in front of the other and something good is going to come of it if we just keep going. We don't know what it's going to be all the time. We're not always, we don't have our like finger right on the pulse, like this is where we're going. But every single day we wake up early, we set our intentions and we do our best to complete them.
You just described Tanya's dream relationship.
Truly.
He's mine.
It's something to aspire to.
Yeah, there's an Edwin out there for me.
There is, but I want you to know it's not always perfect.
Right.
It's not always perfect. You have to work on it and you have to constantly be in communication because the second that communication is lost, you start to lose intimacy. You start mm-hmm. to lose what it is that you love about each other. And if you can't laugh and you can't cry together, then you lose part of what it is that you love about that person.
I have a question. What if he, I can tell by looking at him that he enjoys working out and eats clean, I'm assuming.
Sometimes.
No, he really doesn't.
Wait, really?
He's just one of those hashtag blessed, unfortunately.
Do you get onto him?
No.
I eat well like 80% of the time. And then 20% of the time I'm sort of a mess.
He's like fully off the rails. But while he's doing it, he's constantly commenting. Like he'll look at me and he'll be like, well, it's just for today. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure, buddy. But at this point, I don't even think about it. But he'll be on his like fifth bag of chips. And he's like, well, it's just, you know, it's because it's the afternoon. I'm like, okay, yeah, because it's the afternoon.
same with me.
Chips, ice cream, and cheesecake are the three things I can't live without.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a solid food group right there.
Yeah. He's all in.
Well, it's funny because like, obviously, when the last time we did the podcast, we kind of talked about the program and like Tanya doing that with you and how it totally changed her life. And I mean, it totally changed her body, but it really changed your life and the way that you view working out and eating healthy and being healthy.
Yeah.
And now Teddy follows me, and if I talk about getting food or a snack, she'll be like, what snack? And I'm like, listen, I'm not doing the program right now.
But you did reach out once. So
I've reached out, I think twice.
This is what Teddy does. Like, you'll, like, dip your toe in, and you'll kind of, like, have interest, but she won't, like, take you on.
I won't ask
committed.
You, but I'm just subliminally there. Just reminding, like your tweet. I can't even remember what you tweeted, but you did this like mass tweet and I just wrote back, hey.
I didn't even know you followed me on Twitter at that point. So that kind of scared me. It was like just a very eerie, hey, like I'm watching you.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
Just so you know, I would have never said that had you not reached out once and said you wanted to change. I'm not one of those people trolling the internet. Like, I wonder if they want to change their lifestyle.
But you won't take anybody on unless they're 100% committed.
Never.
I remember because I did the same thing. I dipped my toe in and was like, boop, 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 but I can't do this. And she was like, okay, come back to me. I was like, okay.
She's like, but she set up all these different expectations for herself, for me to have from the beginning. And I was like, well, that's neat. Well, when you're ready, come back. I'm not really interested.
This isn't your program, Tanya. We're not doing your program.
You're on my program.
But I mean, you've completely embraced it. You've changed your life. I've seen a difference in your attitude and your confidence. And, you know, you start asking for things that you didn't ask for before. And
yeah.
You start expecting things that you didn't think you expected before.
I think the thing that, and I've told Teddy this too, is like, it definitely did change me physically, but I think mentally too, because I think when you're kind of at this place and you don't really think you need the most expensive trainers and you need like a chef to cook you all mm-hmm. this like food, and like that's really not what you needed. I did the program. I lost 16 pounds. It's not like a small chunk of change. Like, that's like a significant amount of weight. And I didn't have to hire a chef or a crazy trainer.
It's not like you're doing this huge expense that you have to spend for the rest of your life to be able to maintain your lifestyle change.
Right.
And I think, you know, when you live in a place like LA where everything is like so extravagant, like you have to do everything to the tens. Like, not only do you need the personal trainer, you need the personal chef, but you also need to buy these sets of classes at all of these different locations. And all of a sudden you're out thousands and thousands of dollars, and yet you haven't changed.
Right.
I have a question, though, because I feel like I've talked to some of my friends who have done your program, and they say, I'm like, well, can, because they're like, I'm gonna get back on Teddy. Like, I went off the rails. And I'm like, are you not at a point where you can do it, like, you know how to do it or what to do? And they're like, there's something about, like, can you explain what it is that you do? Because it's not just, because you would think, oh, I could say, like, hey, Tanya, let's hold each other accountable. But there's something that you do that...
The difference is, so, and why sometimes you'll have returning clients and sometimes you won't, and, you know, it really depends. I feel like some people start because they want to change their physical appearance. They see a big change and then they're like, woohoo, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
But then they don't realize all the work that you have to continue putting into it to make that a complete lifestyle change. And at first, you can get away with it.
Yeah.
At first, you can get away with sliding.
Uh-huh.
And then you realize, uh-oh. I got myself in over my head again, and now I need a little bit of help to get back. My goal isn't that somebody is a client forever, but my goal is for you to be able to get to a place where you know when you're starting to slip and to be able to pull yourself back in without me. But if you continue on with me, I will make this such a habit for you that ultimately you won't need me or one of my coaches or whomever it is. Like, at this point, I don't every day wake up motivated and wanting to do this. But I do it because it's a habit and I've changed my life.
Right.
And I don't give myself, it's a non-negotiable at this point.
So you're not always going to be motivated or inspired. It's the habits and routines that'll get you through those days where you don't feel like doing things.
Right.
And that's really what separates, you know, what makes people great is when you can do things on those days that you don't want to do them. And that's when those habits and routines come in.
So we're
huge on that stuff, habits and routines.
Do you feel like as a partnership that y'all hold each other accountable? Like, if she's having a down day, are you like, come on, let's go?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, she does the same thing to me,
we
too.
We do the same thing,
great.
But truthfully, at this point, you know, we kind of will make a joke in the morning. You know, one of us will always be a little like groggier. We get up and we you know, I do my 5-minute journal. He reads the Bible. Like, we do our things. And then if we see that the other person not like moving to that next step, I'm like, we gonna get after it today? Let's do this. You know, you give each other that little push. But we're also aware that that doesn't happen for everybody. Everybody doesn't have that.
Yeah.
And until you put it in yourself, it's not gonna matter. I mean, I was telling my girlfriends who were just here about when I first wanted to change, and Edwin always worked out, and I would fly by the wind, whatever I felt like doing and how comfortable I felt in my own skin at that time. And he would say, let's go work out. And I'd be like, give him this look like, what, I need to work out?
Right.
What are you trying to say? You know, so it's just, it's really within you.
Yeah.
I think that's, a lot of people will like come to me and they're like, you work out every day? How do you do that? And I'm like, it's not like I'm doing a 10 every day. I'm not like running a million miles every single day. Some days I'm tired. Some days I'm on my period and I'm like going to go at a 2, but I'm still going to take time
active
for myself. Yeah.
But I feel like for you, it's all, like, it's gotten to a point where it's like therapy for you because you're just like... Also, sorry, this is off subject, but it came to my mind and I wanted to bring it up. Is that trainer that we just worked out with single?
He is. Oh my gosh.
Wait, Tanya, people were texting me while you were working out. I'm not kidding. Hey, what about that guy with Tanya?
Me too.
What about that guy
she
with
was
Tanya?
Like glaring at me.
Tanya? Why not Becca?
Well, the text said Tanya.
Yeah, before we started, I actually
don't
spoke
get anybody
to Alex,
in trouble in here.
And I said, I think both of these girls are single, and you're single. And he said, yes. So.
And he's a really good guy. He's a really nice guy.
He kept coming over to Tanya, telling how great her form was.
Oh.
Speaking of, I have a question for Teddy.
Yes.
I'm changing the subject. You're welcome. So. I know that I'm on it.
Okay.
You guys work together in the program, but you're friends also. And I noticed in the workout that you had your girlfriends here. I saw Kyle and Lisa because I know them too. And is it weird if you're working with friends? Do you know what I'm saying? Advising them, whether it's on their workout or like their diet or making sure they're sticking to what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, in regards to like Lisa and Kyle and Denise and Dorit who are here today, I'm not their lifestyle coach. And I keep it very clear. If one of them wanted to join the program and do the entire program, it wouldn't be weird because I keep it very separate.
Yeah.
This is, it's business. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a very personal thing to share when you're feeling vulnerable or when you're feeling scared about making a lifestyle change, I don't cross that line. But, you know, in this case, they came to support the workout, and it was a different story. But if ever they were to reach out and say, I actually really want to do the program, I mean...
Well, what about if you have to be tough on Tanya, but you guys are friends?
It is funny. It is funny that you say that, because sometimes, like, if I do something and I know, like, I'm disappointed in myself, it's almost harder for me to, like, admit it to you, because I'm like, I messed up.
I'm able to read kind of Tanya's mood at this point and how she's feeling and what she needs that day.
Right.
So some days I can tell Tanya's like on fire. Do you mind me speaking openly?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Some days I know Tanya's on fire and she's feeling great. And on those days, I'm just like her number one cheerleader, like, let's do this. And then some days she'll get a little down on herself. And I'm like, listen, honey, put your big girl panties on and let's go after this day, because you need to kill it, and you can. And you can't be this persona that says you're killing it and then not feel it inside. So dig deep. You've got this. I know you do. You had it yesterday.
Yeah.
And just get yourself there today.
Do the other girls, I mean, I love Lisa and Kyle like so much. So do they ever ask for advice or?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say they necessarily ask for it. It's more of like a joke within our friend group. Like, it's like, what do you think if I eat the muffin? I'm never going to reach out and try to give my opinions to somebody who's not wanting to make that type of change. They all work out. They like what they're doing. They live healthy lifestyles. I've helped a lot of their friends, actually. Their friends have reached out and are clients. So it's more word of mouth. And it's really people that want to make a big lifestyle shift.
Yeah. I think the name All In is so perfect for it, because you truly have to be all in. Like, you really can't half-ass it. Like, it's, you have to be committed, and it's really just committed to yourself.
It's committed to yourself, and it's committed. I've noticed so much that people will comment so much on what you're doing and give you their opinions and how they feel and how it's not, what you're doing isn't right for them.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you realize, I don't really care what's right for you. And this is what's right for me. This is what makes me feel good. I don't care if everybody else is, you know, wants to sleep in. I'm going to get up and go on a run. Not because I'm trying to make you feel bad. If you're taking it that way, that's on you.
Yeah.
I'm doing it to make myself feel good, because then I'm going to be happier. I'm going to be more fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I struggle with anxiety, you know, pretty bad. And it's what makes me feel good.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of our listeners actually talk about how they struggle with anxiety and depression. Like, how do I get out of that? And I've always heard that, like, being in a routine and changing your diet and in exercising is like a huge natural, like, antidepressant pretty much.
Yeah. Like, your Prozac.
Yeah.
If you can get up and you can do something every day, you get up, you take a shower, you go do something for yourself before you go to work or before your kids wake up or whatever it is that you are doing in your life, you're going to feel better than if you lay in bed on social media, looking at it, like looking at people having the perfect life and blah, blah, blah. You're going to get down on yourself. If you get out and do something for you, you're not there focusing on what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, it's true.
I think the first 10 minutes of the day set your day.
Mm-hmm.
And if the first thing you do is pick up social media, it's the worst thing you can do, because everyone's living this fantasy life. Everyone's just putting how great life is.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll automatically get depressed when you're seeing everybody have this great life, supposedly, right?
Yeah.
So those first 10 minutes set the tone. So you got to be careful with that social media as soon as you wake up.
Yeah. I have a question. How did you respond with like all the cameras being in your life all the time?
At first, can I tell them the true story at first? But no, I think at first I was so nervous that I'd have to drink a shot right before the cameras would come on.
But then I filled the tequila up with water.
And that's when that was the cue to stop. So that was like,
listen, if this is going to be your life with us filming, then I'm just not going to I'm not going to invite you on these dates. Like, because that's not who you are. You're not a person that needs to take a shot before we go do something. So, I mean, I don't even notice that any cameras are there, because truthfully, it's our real life. Mm-hmm. Nothing's scripted. Yeah. When you hear anything like that, that's obscene. But he just wasn't used to having anyone else around.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but he doesn't do that anymore. Whew! Because that was a little bit dodgy. So
now I just drink coffee right before I'm in the film.
Get your energy levels up.
Get my energy levels up. Exactly, yeah.
I do have to say, your story is very inspiring.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
She was talking about this, and I was like, I don't know your story. So.
I know. I wish we had more time to, like, really... I remember I listened to you on a different podcast, and I had no idea, because you guys have built such a great life for yourselves, and I had no idea where you came from, and I found it really, really motivating and inspiring. So if you could share with our listeners a little bit about your journey, that would be awesome.
Yeah. You know, long story short, I came here when I was 6 years old. 2 weeks after coming to the U.S., our home got raided by law enforcement. And that day, both my mom and dad went to jail. I ended up with my older sister in a foster home. Mom comes out in 3 months. Dad comes out in 8 months. However, every year after that, our home would get raided once a year. And finally, when I was 10 years old, they put away my dad for they put him away for about 10 years. And then my mom, within a 2-year span, basically lost everything. So I sort of went from having whatever I wanted as a kid to now ended up in an apartment where we couldn't rent. We didn't have enough money for rent. So we had to rent both of the rooms where we lived. And we basically had 14 people living in a 3-bedroom apartment. So I lived in this little room with my siblings. And basically roaches would be waking me up at night. And at 15 years old, I was able to get a job. And basically been taking care of the family since then. 15 years old, yeah.
And walking himself to school as a little kid.
At 16, I became a supervisor of 5 people. At 18, I became a supervisor of 40 people. I was selling long distance over the phone. And then, but more importantly, when I was 18 years old, I became the right hand of the supervisor the VP of sales. So then 3 years later, he comes into my office and says, hey, I want to start this alarm company. And I want you to come with me to start the company. He says, I can't guarantee you the $70,000 a year that you make here, but if you make this work, you can possibly double, quadruple your income. Uh-huh. And the first thing I thought was, well, this guy's making 250 grand a year, and if he's leaving, he must be pretty serious about what he's doing. Second thing I thought is, if he can teach me how to start a company from the ground up, I'm like, this is the shortcut to college that I needed. And the third thing I thought, I was this big dreamer kid. I was at 16 years old. I would ditch school to go to Rodeo Drive, and I would go window shop, and then I would go look at all the homes, and I would say, one day I'm going to end up here. And, you know,
the rest is history. I mean, now he's got his security companies all throughout the United States. It's home automation. It's amazing. It's incredible. You can do everything on your phone. Like right now, I could pick up my phone and look at exactly what my kids are doing. So I could lock the door, open the garage, like.
Yeah, looking back at what I did at that point, because everybody thought I was crazy. They thought, how are you going to leave this job that's paying you $70,000 a year? Mm-hmm. This is back in 1999, which is probably worth 150 grand now. Mm-hmm. But what I was doing at 16 years old, I call it touching the dream and being exposed to the dream.
Yeah.
And there's this part of your brain that's called the reticular activating system, and it's part of your subconscious mind. So your conscious mind, it can't gather... Everything you see, it doesn't gather it, because if you hear, see, whatever, it will overwhelm your brain. And that's where your subconscious comes in, because that gathers everything it sees and gathers everything it touches. And the reticular activating system is a filter that feeds your conscious mind what it needs to know. And it filters it by 3 things, which is what your dreams and goals are, what you need for survival, and then your belief. So when I was 16 years old, that was my dream. That was my goal. I needed that for survival. I needed to buy my mom's home. So all these things, so when that opportunity came, it was easy for me, because I knew that that's what I needed to do to go after my dreams. If I wouldn't have gone out of the bubble that I was in, because I grew up in Southeast LA, which is basically next to Watts and Compton. Mm-hmm. If I wouldn't have left that little bubble, $70,000 a year would have been like, I mean, I was already living the life at that point.
Yeah.
If I wouldn't have left that bubble. But because I left that bubble and I was exposed to that dream, and I was able to touch the dream, it made me want more. So I'm huge on that part. And I always talk about that part of my successes. At a young age, I put myself in places where, you know, even though I wasn't making that much money, once a month I'd go treat myself to a nice steak. And I'd pay, you know, $150 for that dinner. But it made me want more.
Always step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because you can't grow inside of your comfort zone.
That is so good.
So you grow the most when you put yourself in pressure situations.
Yeah, uncomfortable.
When you're in discomfort. Uh-huh. And that's what I love about the All In brand. Mm-hmm. Because All In, when you're All In, you put yourself in a vulnerable situation. And no one wants to feel vulnerable, mm-hmm. because everyone, you know, is afraid of getting hurt and all that stuff. But that's how you're going to grow. And whatever you go after, you have to go all in and be vulnerable. And I think that's a trait that a lot of successful people have, is they put themselves in vulnerable situations. And if you get hurt, you get hurt. But, you know, that's the way you're going to grow.
Yeah. Whoa.
It's true.
That's before we even started the workout, she's like, have you ever heard his story? I was like, no. So I was really interested to hear, but.
Yeah. And I mean, really it goes like deep too. Cause I mean, I know you're really rooted in faith. And so I love that element of it too, but.
Belief is everything.
Day.
You got to have monster belief.
And when we are going to church every Sunday, we are the most connected that we ever are. It's like it's something we do together as a family. It's something that we look forward to. And when we're not, you can feel it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we can feel it in our life.
I know. I think we've discussed often about, I mean, getting into more of like the relationship thing is like having that faith as a foundation. Like, you know, I think there's a lot of people who are in relationships where maybe the faith isn't the same, or they, you know, aren't like don't have the same beliefs or whatever. And I think it can work, obviously. But I do think there is something in the strength of being like rooted together in that, having that together.
And so, you know, Tanya, when I first met Edwin, I had never really gone to church. So just because you meet somebody and maybe they don't have the same faith that you hope.
That's what we were talking about with her, too.
It doesn't mean anything because, truthfully, at first when I met him, he was like, okay, I go to church on Sundays. And I was like, okay, I go on Christmas. You know, like I had never been exposed to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Tanya, you need to listen right now because you close your mind sometimes.
I've gone that because
I always thought I needed to have somebody that was like at the same level of faith as me. And now I feel like it might be me that is the one that has the stronger faith that leads somebody else than the opposite thing.
And I mean,
it comes with time.
And it's not going to happen overnight. You know, I started going, you know, I used to work Sundays when I rode horses for a living. So I, you know, had my excuse on why I couldn't go.
Yeah.
And then I started realizing when he was going every Sunday, I was like, he is such a better person when he goes every Sunday. Like only for that reason alone, I was like, all right, I'm starting to go. I switched my work schedule. I said, can I work this day instead of Sunday? I started going. I watched how we started connecting more. I watched how holding ourselves accountable to doing that together from the, you know, non-negotiable for us changed everything.
The first thing I told him when we got married was, you got to make sure I keep going to church on Sundays. Otherwise, we might have issues. And there's times where I don't want to go and she pushes me to go.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, great. If we really can't go on Sunday, we're going to watch it on TV. You know, there's so many different avenues to get faith. Like, and people have this stigma that if you're a Christian, you're judgmental, right? Mm-hmm. Or that you have to follow these set of guidelines. It's really not. It's believing in something. It's believing in a higher power and having faith and connecting through it and being kind. And that's really, and you can get it anyway. You can get it on your laptop. Mm-hmm. You can get it by going somewhere. You can get it by listening to worship songs. You know, like I listen to like Lauren Daigle and I'm like, I'm getting it right now. Yeah. You know, like,
I think it's really cool to know that like y'all met and y'all weren't necessarily like, that was probably very important to you, but you met her and you were like, whatever, I'm gonna do my thing still, like whether she wants to go or not. And then the fact that,
and it's not even perfect, because I mean the way we met was not very,
I mean we didn't meet in like a romantic
I mean,
but that's why I'm saying it, there's no judgment. You want growth.
And I like that what you found appealing about it was that you noticed something different about him when he went to church. Like, that's kind of what I feel like faith is supposed to be, that there's something that stands out with someone. It's like this goodness that you find.
It holds you accountable.
Yeah.
And I think when you stop going, you start to derail yourself, right? Because there's so many things happening that you need to be rooted. And that's why I've always been big on that. I've always told Teddy, hey, make sure I'm always heading to church, and when I stop getting going, make sure that I go back to it. So she's been great with that and holding me accountable with that.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. We want to make sure that everybody, all of our listeners know obviously this is your new, I mean, you've had your program All In by Teddy. That's like a thing, but you just launched the workout, the 30 minute.
30 minute cardio.
Yes. So tell everybody where they can find it, how they can find it.
If you go into allinbyteddy.com and you go down to the workout tab, you can either do the workout once for $4.99, or if you do $19.99, you can have the video and you can do it as often as you want. It's the perfect workout for if you're in your home, you don't have any gym equipment, you're traveling nonstop. There's really absolutely no excuse, because you can do it anywhere. You don't need a ton of space. You can do it with friends. You can do it no matter what level you are in your workout journey, because we give different options of intensity. And afterwards, you're going to feel good.
And that was a lot of, I sweated a lot.
I was watching you guys. I felt proud. You guys did good.
There's video of me just like laying on the ground. I'm like, who took them? Like, why did we film me doing that? I was actually doing some stuff at some points, and the videos I saw, I'm like laying there.
Yeah, it was really hard.
That was a special birthday treat.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you for being here. It was awesome.
Okay, so Teddy and Edwin just left. Love them. But you know something that Teddy is also a big fan of that
what?
I am a big fan of as well? Care of vitamins. So Care of is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. They have this fun online quiz, and it asks you about your diet and health goals and lifestyle choices. It only takes 5 minutes to find out what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. Especially with me just getting back from Hawaii, I loaded up on their elderberry and their vitamin C vitamins after all the travel in the airport. You know, like people on the plane and they're like coughing and sneezing.
Oh boy, it's the worst.
It's the worst. But I was like, I got my Care Ofs. They even have a pocket protector for an on-the-go immunity boost. It's perfect for being on the go. All you do is pop the powder in your mouth and it tastes delicious. They are strawberry and raspberry flavored.
Which would you choose, strawberry or raspberry?
Either or.
I would go raspberry.
Can't go wrong with berry.
I agree with that.
Yeah. You know I love a fruity suckable.
I do know that about you.
Also, a portion of every sale goes toward the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins. So for 25% off your first month of personalized Care of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter Tilly. Again, that's 25% off your first month of personalized Care of vitamins. Visit takecareof.com and enter Tilly. Also, this goes quite nicely with Miss Teddy Mellencamp.
It's all about self-care.
Self-care. Beachbody On Demand is an easy-to-use streaming service. You guys have heard us talk about it before. It gives you instant access to a wide variety of super effective workouts that you can do from the comfort of your living room 24/7. You don't have to get in the car. You don't have to do anything. You can literally do it in your living room. So I had to get my Beachbody ready for Becca and JoJo's birthday trip to Hawaii this last weekend, and Beachbody On Demand helped me get there. So this is the company behind P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix, Brazilian Butt Lift, Pio, Hip Hop Abs, and my personal favorite, the 3-week yoga retreat with Lisa Gibbons. She's helped me become more flexible, tone my body, and eliminate stress through her yoga program. The best part is when you join, you're not alone. You are a part of the biggest support community with over 1 million people currently on Beachbody On Demand. So right now, our listeners can get a special free trial membership, including their new 14-day results plan, where you can lose up to 9 pounds in the first 2 weeks. That's like, I'm not good at math. What is that? 0.4 of a pound a day?
No.
Nope.
That's not what that is, but maybe it is.
2 weeks is 14 days.
Right.
9 pounds in 14 days.
So it's 14 divided by 9.
Yeah.
So it's 1.5 pounds a day, basically.
That's impressive.
Yes.
So all you have to do is text Becca to 303030. You'll get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, the results plan to get you super fast results and support. Totally free. So all you have to do is text Becca
to 303030.
And what should we text to 303030? Becca!
I mean, you took a deep sigh. Do you have an intro ready?
Oh, well, I was going to say, I mean, I loved having Teddy and Edwin here. That was really...
I know.
Special.
I wasn't really special. Here last time she was on the podcast. You're just going to creep in like that for an intro?
Yeah.
Wait for your introduction, Ben.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you to Teddy and Edwin for being here. They're awesome. They're a power couple. I mean, speaking of awesome, and not necessarily a couple, but a powerful human being, we have Ben Higgins in the scrubbing in OR. How does it feel to scrub? This is your first official scrubbing.
Wow. I called in once.
No, this is studio.
Yeah, this is big. Well, it's kind of odd because I was sitting over on the side waiting, and I feel like now, even though I know you both and respect you dearly, like I was a little nervous because of your nomination that I feel like I'm walking into something like really important. Like I don't want to mess it up.
Oh, Ben, there's no way you can mess it up.
No, it's kind of true.
I see genuine behind
you. Yeah.
You're fooled. I know. I was on a TV show with him. He looked me dead in the eye, said he wasn't going to send me home without a warning. Send me home without a warning.
Oh.
You don't trust that genuine sweet face.
Oh.
I'll never forget. Warsaw, Indiana, my hometown, sitting on the park bench in front of the city hall. And Becky goes, you told me you would warn me. I was like, Becca, how was I supposed to warn you?
A hand signal, anything.
A carrier pigeon.
Yeah. And there could have been a way.
She was the only person they really get really mad at me when they left the show. And I was like, Becca, out of everybody, like.
Because I asked you.
Yeah, I was sad. Becca's still on my phone. So can we talk about this now? I think it's time.
Is it time?
Yeah, I think it's time.
What?
Well, what's the worst thing that can happen?
I don't know.
Wait, what? Now you have to share.
Yeah. So, Becca and I actually talked before the show. And what happened was we had two phone conversations. I remember this. And we texted probably not a ton. And she's like, do you think, like, we didn't know each other well.
Yeah.
But she was like, do you think it's worth me at least giving this a shot? At this point, like, I was already going to be The Bachelor.
And producers had reached out to me about going on.
Yeah. And I said, I do. I think it's worth, like, us exploring if this could be something. And I don't, like, I'm going to do the show. And so it's not like we can now date off the side. And I don't know where this is going to take me. So please come on the show. But she's in my phone back then as Virginia Till. I don't know why. I forget the Virginia part.
Because I'm a virgin.
Oh.
Like you told me that. It wasn't like first time I'm hearing about
it. No, I forgot that. Yeah, because she was a virgin, so I put Virginia Till on my phone. She's still that today.
I had a name for you too, but I can't remember it. It wasn't as like funny or like memorable.
No.
That is so funny. Yeah.
So I don't think we've ever publicly shared that.
Yeah.
But I knew she was going to be there, or I was expecting her to be there. She was the only one I knew would be there. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, Virginia. Yeah, that was pretty good. That is pretty good.
Yeah, but it was like, I was nervous because I'm like, I mean, it was the same thing as me. Everyone's like, y'all would be great together. It was like, we hadn't met. Like, we didn't know, like, you know, what the connection would be. So when I walked in that night, I still, like, even walking in, I was like, what am I doing? Yeah.
But how did you know? How did you get each other's phone numbers? Like,
this Instagram? Or
yeah, like a message.
Were there multiple contestants that reached out to you?
No,
really.
It was a little different with Becca because she had been on the show. Like, I didn't want to put her through a show again if it wasn't worth it. But I knew that I was interested, and so I was like, "What? How else are we going to do this?"
Mm-hmm.
There was no other option other than for her to come on the show. But then again, it just still was. And I think it worked out. Like, it wasn't a bad decision, right?
Oh, no, okay. Not at all. You know I love you.
I know. But that was it. So nobody has known that until scrubbing in. And I thought this was a good time.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great teaser.
It's weird, kind of the burden that's been lifted off my shoulders that I've carried for years.
Do you know what's so funny? I've always been like, I've never told anyone.
I've never told anybody.
And I don't know why I thought, like, everyone talks before they go on the show. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why in my head I thought, like, I'm going to get put in jail or something.
Yeah, at the time it was more protecting both of us because it was like, I don't want people to think that Becca has an unfair advantage. Yeah.
Like
she didn't.
I know. If anything, I almost felt like it was kind of a disadvantage because it was like all these like fresh people and I was like, old news.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you are 30 now, so.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're going to take that jab at me real quick, huh? Just a weekend to my 30s, and you're going to do that?
When are you 30, man? Because that's coming.
Yeah, 2 months. Oh, no. Yeah, 3 months.
3 months of his 20s.
That's exciting.
It is a little exciting. I don't know how you felt last week, Becca, but
Super. I love it.
Yeah. It's kind of just like, I'm done with it. This is the birthday that I feel like everybody is like scared to get to.
Yeah.
40's fine. 50's really fine. 60, you know, is whatever it is. But 30 is that mark that you're like, I'm no longer like, I no longer have the option to be immature. And like, that's the mark is like, I can't just mess around anymore.
Yeah.
Man, you've been immature since you were like 12, I bet.
No, I think, so I've had this theory. I don't know if I've shared this with you too, but you know, I've smoked my tobacco pipe. I read and I try, like I stay very disconnected from technology on purpose. Because here's my theory. If I can start prepping myself to be older, younger, then getting older will never be a disappointment. It'll just be like the rest of my life.
Yeah, but then it's like that's all you have. Like you're like wasting time of being youthful and being dumb.
Yeah.
Because you're already entering that. Your excuse? Like you're entering that whether you want to or not.
Is that your excuse for like not texting people back?
Oh, here we go.
I was waiting for
Becca starts clapping like, yeah, we did it.
Yeah, because I knew Tanya was ready to go.
Yeah. Is that what it is? You just like to like play old and like put your phone
technology
down?
Is too much for him.
All right, Tanya, let's get into this. I don't know, Tanya. I've had this like, and this is from the heart, I think. I've always loved Tanya. I think you know that. Like, I just think you are like a light and you bring a ton of light to people around you. And you walked into this world of entertainment and media and like shine something different than anybody else does. So Tanya to me is like this super precious ball of a person. And then I've gotten to know Tanya over the last 2 years and she's gotten increasingly angrier at me as time has gone on. And it just kind of like, I think it just kind of came to the surface at iHeartFest this year was Tanya looked at me and I think her exact words were, well, go ahead.
Remember when we used to be friends?
Remember when you used to be friends? And I said, I never knew we were not friends anymore. And your response was?
I can't remember.
She just feels like she puts more effort into our relationship than I do.
For sure, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
And I admitted that.
Yeah.
She definitely does. And I was hurt because I it took me off guard. Like, it threw me off where I was like, I didn't realize that we had tension.
First of all, it's, like, not really tension.
Ben, like, you're kind of making yourself seem more special. Like, I see her in the morning, and by the afternoon, she's like, do you even love me anymore?
This is a Tanya move.
Oh, this is a Tanya thing.
This is standard.
Well, see, I don't get that. So I didn't mean to make myself feel more special. I don't...
Sorry, Ben, you're not that... You're not... She doesn't care that much.
But I didn't know this was a Tanya move, so I went to Beck, and I was like...
Yeah, Becca. It was so sad. He looked literally like someone had stolen his puppy.
So, Becca, I don't know what happened, but I don't like this. Like, and she's like, Ben, this is Tanya.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. So I feel like we're mending because I communicated my care. So last week, Tanya FaceTimes me during my restaurant opening. We have my restaurant opening, and I listened to the podcast last week, and I heard the quote that Tanya just likes to FaceTime at the most inappropriate times. And this was one of those. So I'm doing this tasting with a bunch of people in one room. I get a FaceTime from Tanya. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to answer this because no longer again am I ever going to get criticized for not being a good friend to Tanya because I do love Tanya. So I answer. She's in a towel cooking in her kitchen.
I was in my robe. Oh.
Ben trying to make it way more risque.
I thought it was risque. Cooking in the kitchen.
Big robe.
But I could tell then you have no shame to FaceTime anybody at any time.
No, my hair was sopping wet. I had no makeup on and I had my giant robe on.
The fact that he, in his mind, thinks that your big puffy robe is the same thing as a towel is really funny to me.
Yeah, he's like, she's got this little towel.
Yeah, towel barely hanging on.
Yeah, no, it's a gigantic bathrobe. But I appreciate that.
But you answered.
Yeah. I did. I answered. And I thought after I hung up, I was like, okay. Like, that had to show that I cared. Like, I walked out of the restaurant, stood outside, like, told everybody, like, sorry, give me a second. Answered and said, hey, Tanya, how you doing? I'm at a restaurant opening. She's like, I get it. Okay, have a good one. Just wishing you the best. And I was like, that's... Freaking Tanya, just being nice.
Did that? Do you feel like that mended things for y'all? Did that really help?
It really helped on the mend. Mm-hmm. To just be totally fair, I really never had tension towards you. I always say that. I always say, like, remember when you used to love me? Like, to Becca, I'll probably say it weekly. Remember when you used to love me?
Weekly.
I get it bi-weekly.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just so you know, that is something that I say in jest. I don't truly. However, I do feel like I put more into the relationship than you do.
I agree. I do.
I feel like that's true of all of your relationships. And I don't mean that in a mean way. That came off meaner than I meant it.
No, I get what you're saying.
Okay.
Because I care a lot.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I have some friends that care the exact same way back with me.
Okay.
How often are you communicating with these people then?
Daily.
Like hourly?
No.
It's got to be.
Yeah. I mean, all I can imagine is if like to show like your amount of care collided with somebody else's amount of care would be like that gives me anxiety just building it with my hands.
No, the amount of care in that dynamic.
It could be something as simple as like showing up for me for something. Does that make sense? So like I have a friend who is always there even when I don't think I need somebody. Does that make sense? And I can go a day without speaking to her.
Is that Paulina?
Paulina and Sophia.
Yeah.
I can go a day or two without speaking to them at all, but I know that they're always, they will show up no matter what, even when I don't think I need somebody. Okay. So it's not necessarily about being in constant communication because, like, look, I haven't checked my phone in, like, I don't know how long we've been doing this.
It's been a few hours.
Since the 5 o'clock this morning. So I can go a really long time without communicating with people, but it's the sentiment behind it.
Yeah. Do you think that's a...
I just need a little more sentiment from you.
Yeah. Do guys typically give you that much sentiment? Like, do you know any like males in your life that have given you that much sentiment?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, my dad being one of them. My father being one of them.
Well,
okay. Oh, yeah. Outside of your dad.
Yeah.
Who?
John. No, but that makes sense. That's somebody, her dad is like that. And so that kind of sets up the expectations for the guys in her life.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got stuff I need to work on. I know that.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway.
On the Almost Famous podcast recently, we've learned that Ben's kind of losing touch with society and the world. I don't know what's going on with him, but like he hasn't seen any movies. He didn't know there was a new Halloween movie. Like that was news to him. He was like, really? Oh, there's a new one? Oh, cool. Like he's kind of not involved in the world.
Mm-mm. I've like separated somehow and I don't know how. I thought
nice,
The
though?
Greatest Showman was in 2018.
It was a new movie.
I thought it was a new movie. I really did.
Wait, okay. Are you happy to be separate?
Yeah.
It's not
like something I'm ashamed of. I've gotten ashamed of it because it's kept me disconnected from other people. Like, I don't know what people are talking about anymore. Like, that's when I realized it during the Almost Famous podcast. People were talking about this stuff, and I was just like, I don't get it. Like, I wasn't tracking. And so then I realized, yeah, I've disconnected myself from the world, which isn't a bad thing.
Right.
I'm writing a book right now. So one of those reasons I'm writing a book.
Reason.
And so I've, like, anytime I do have to disconnect, I purposely disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm realizing I'm doing it better than I thought I was.
I think I don't know if it's just because of a lot of the guys. I think you've separated yourself from, like, the bachelor world a lot. And I feel like you get out of that and it's all it is about social media and pop culture and, like, what's going on in the world. So there has to be an element where it feels really good to like not have to worry about that or care about that.
Yeah. I wonder if you feel like this. And Tanya, you have this this job that is going to sustain you for a long time because you're really good at it. But for me, you know, Almost Famous and iHeart have been incredible to me. But I know that like my time on the show piece is done. You know, it's done. And so the attraction to it, or the me getting pulled back into it, or those opportunities, or getting invited to AMAs and that kind of stuff, like that's going to be fleeting and fading. And I've always been okay with it. But I wonder now that I see it like tangibly happening, that I'm actually a little sad.
Yeah,
you know, to disconnect myself intentionally from the world, because The Bachelor has been good to me. The people are great. I made amazing friendships. It's exciting for me. I get super pumped up. When I went to Vegas, I was giddy. I had like anxiety because I was so excited to be there with everybody.
Uh-huh.
And I hope that never fades. I hope I continue to do that stuff. But I have disconnected because of other stuff happening in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder now if I'm starting to like get a little bit emotional over the idea that this is all closer to being done than it ever has been. 30 maybe is that sign for me too. I don't know. I'm dealing with it. Mark's right. Almost Famous podcast has brought to light some things going on that I need to dig into.
And I do find that interesting, the awareness of the finite amount of time that The Bachelor or any of this kind of fame might be. And that doesn't have to be The Bachelor. Any kind of fame. A lot of it has a certain shelf life to it.
Yeah.
And that awareness, I would think, would be very stressful, But also in your case, it seems like it might be a little exciting.
It's exciting because the next chapter is on the horizon.
Right.
And I got to do all this when I was younger, right? Like Beck and I both are just turning 30. Mm-hmm. And all this happened in our 20s, which is when I would, you know, ideally prefer. Ashley said something the other day on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And she said that for the first time in a long time, she had a Saturday with nothing to do. She was sitting on her couch and Jared and her were sitting. She's like, I have no plans. And it's quiet. And she's like, I got stressed out that how long that quiet could last. And I was like, that's actually like really true. It's finite for me. So I'm excited for the next chapter. Generous has been incredible. Mm-hmm. Humanity and Hope United has been incredible. And iHeart still will continue to go. This podcast I have a blast with, and we'll continue to do what we can while The Bachelor still is living and breathing.
Forever.
But it is interesting. I don't know what the next chapter is now.
Well, I think you have a lot of things going on. I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's the thing. You've established that you want to do something beyond that and not, like, rely on this, I guess you could call it instant fame that happens when you come off the show.
But I also think, like, you have to look at it, too, from a different lens. Like I think it's a part of life. And you know what I mean? Like, take The Bachelor, take the fame part out of it. Mm-hmm. And, like, this is kind of what happens just in life. You know what I mean? You go through different seasons. So it's like when people are gearing up to, like, you know, get married or have a baby or switch professions. And it's like everybody's kind of dealing with this. So it's like I think you can have comfort in the fact that everybody deals with this at different parts of their life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like something coming to an end, like college coming to an end.
Yeah. Like everybody deals with it at just different times and in different ways. So it's like what you're going through, a lot of people go through in their lives, it's just through a different lens that you're experiencing it.
Well, it is. You're right. Like that end of college, end of high school. Like there's like in early life, there's these like direct like endings, mm-hmm. right? The chapter is done. Let's move on. Now there is, it's kind of like less clear when it fades and when a new one begins, like it all kind of blends together. And I just have this sense that a chapter is ending. Now, I don't know what that looks like. It could enhance to a whole new arena. That's a more fun. I mean, Generous is incredible. I get to travel the world and sell coffee for a living. Like that's pretty great. I'm pretty stoked about it forever. But you know, but that's a new chapter. Mm-hmm. Taking over a company is a new chapter. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's and the book's a big deal. So like who knows what that takes.
Ben, since you're talking about books, I just need to jump in really quick here because our next sponsor is Audible, which I feel like ties in quite nicely to what Ben's talking about. So it's the time of year when everyone is thinking about thoughtful gifts. And with Christmas right around the corner, it's time to start thinking about what to get your family members. And my dad is a big reader. He reads every night before he goes to bed. So I thought the perfect gift to get him is a membership of Endless Books. So you can choose 3 titles every month, 1 audiobook, and 2 Audible originals that you can't hear anywhere else. I just downloaded a book called Love Does by Bob Goff. I highly recommend the download. It's all about how to love people better. And I can listen to it on any service, anytime, anywhere, at home, at the gym, on your commute, or just on the go. So right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. Give yourself the gift of listening. And while you're at it, think about giving the gift of Audible to someone on your list. For more, you can go to audible.com/BeccaT, or you can just text Becca T to 500-500. You guys don't want to miss out on this limited time offer. Again, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. So go to audible.com/BeccaT or text Becca T to 500-500. Who knows? Maybe Ben Higgins, maybe your book in the future might be on there.
I would listen to that.
I would listen to that too. Also, one more sponsor today is Talkspace. Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace. It's the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. So all you need is a computer with internet connection or the Talkspace mobile app. That means you can improve your mental health even if you've had trouble making time for it in the past. So remember that therapy isn't just about venting your innermost thoughts or digging into childhood memories. It's about practical everyday strategies for stress management and living a happier, healthier life. I try to practice self-health by working out, building community, and challenging myself to daily goals, but sometimes you just need a little extra help, and that's why Talkspace is something that Scrubbing In stands behind. The Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges that we all face. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of a traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/Becca. Use the code Becca to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's the code Becca at Talkspace.com/Becca. I kind of feel like talking to Ben Higgins is like therapy.
Switching gears, take me out of it. Who was the best kisser on your season of The Bachelor? Was there anyone where you were like, wow.
Outside of you, because I just don't think it's fair to...
Yeah, I don't even want to be involved. Pretend I wasn't on the show.
Yeah. I would say the best kisser, I mean, it. You know, let's take you and Lauren out of it.
Okay, yeah.
Let's just do that for the sake of...
Respect.
You know, I actually think JoJo...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a lot of chemistry.
Yeah, well,
we did.
We saw that. Specifically.
All right.
Wait, what?
Was it a promo?
It was the promo.
It was a promo showing that Ben was enjoying the kiss.
We had a boner?
Oh, yeah.
In a promo that aired on television?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of screen grabs of that one.
A lot of screen grabs. Yeah. You can Google it.
I'm about to.
Mark, can you do a Google over there?
Yeah, we'll tease it with that photo.
It was, okay, so the funny part of this, and I'm not ashamed of it. It happens, right?
Like, yeah, it's like not, periods. They happen.
Yeah, it's like periods. It happens.
No, which we're going to get to at the end of the show.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It's not crazy, but it's not something you know. Like my little cousins, my grandma, my mom, like they're watching it and it's already hard enough. So ABC chooses this beautiful scene where JoJo and I are kissing in a Jamaican waterfall. And I'm standing separate from her a little bit. It's very clear like what's happening. And they choose it as the little like the scene that the picture that stops and the show does The Bachelor in front of. So it's not just on for like a split second. No. It's on for 30 seconds. Like you get a very good look at what's happening.
Mark, did you find it?
I don't have a good shot of it. I have something that kind of hint
what'd
at
you,
it.
What'd you Google?
That's the one.
Yeah, what words did you type
that's
in?
The winner, yeah. That's the one.
So good. Hey, can we see? Flip it over.
Yeah, I'm making it bigger.
Oh well, no, come so on. That's that. Don't kill my ego that much. I'm making it bigger.
Expand the screen is a better way of putting
that. Wait, is he shirtless? Are you shirtless in this?
I am. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be weird if he was in a waterfall with a shirt on.
Ben, I don't know if you've heard, but your chest is my oasis.
Oh yeah.
We gotta talk about it. I appreciate it because not many people nowadays appreciates a hairy chest.
Yeah, I know.
And I just don't see the point in shaving any longer. But before we get to that, here's a picture of me and.
First of all, it's not as bad as Tanya, I thought it was gonna be.
I mean, they have to have some censorship on ABC.
It's enough.
It's more to the side.
The fact that you can tell that it's to the side is the issue.
Wow. We really switched gears there.
Yeah.
Wait.
I'm glad somebody finally brings it up to me. So all my buddies send me this picture, right? Mm-hmm. And you would be the only one probably out of that whole group of girls that I would feel even a tad bit comfortable with being like, Becco, like, what the hell? Like, why would this be a picture? Like, we could joke about it. Because anybody else I'm not that close with.
Right.
But, like, finally somebody brings it up to me. Because, like, this has been on my mind for a long time.
Oh, you haven't talked about it?
No, this is the... This is the still shot that, like... is the promotion of my season.
Wow.
Like, I've had...
Could be worse.
It could be worse. Thanks,
yeah.
Becca.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. From what I saw, it looks pretty big.
So, how
do you have that going for you?
How did the...
Big Ben!
So good.
Is it?
You should put that on your resume.
Just Big Ben.
Just Big Ben.
And when they ask, photo.
Like underneath, like you know, you put like the bullet and then the sub bullet.
Yeah.
View promo, view bachelor promo reference.
I mean,
you guys are fun.
Yeah. We want to talk. I want to go into your chest being an oasis because when we were at iHeart. we were at the pool and all the guys were like very clean shaven, no hairless on the chest area.
Ridiculously hairless.
It's so like childlike to me. Like, I'm like, I don't want to like touch a.
Yeah, you can end that sentence there. So, you've always liked hairy guys. Made that clear.
Always talked about that she likes hairy men.
Hairy everywhere.
Everywhere. She loves hair. A man with hair. And so Ben, I remember you were like, what do you think? And I was like, I like it. It's different. And we started, I don't even know how it came up on the podcast.
How did it come up?
But Tanya really expressed her love for it.
Yeah.
That was nice. I appreciate it. Yes, because I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not insecure about it. Like, I could fix it if I needed to, right? Just like all those other guys do. For me, it's more of a I don't get it on why I would use so much time and effort in my life shaving.
And painful.
And it's just it doesn't throw me off at all. And the only time it ever bothers me is when I'm around those guys.
Right.
Because they're hairless
Ken dolls.
They're Ken dolls. And so I'm standing there like, I feel pretty good about myself 99% of the time, except when I'm on by a pool in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to keep my t-shirt on.
It's so interesting because the reason why I'm very vocal about it is because I have dated guys in the past that have hairy chests and I enjoy it. I support it. And it's something that they're really insecure about.
Yeah.
And like, they've been vocal about that to me. So I'm like, I don't know why you're so insecure about it. I think it's so sexy. I think it's so hot. I think it's so manly. And it's something that guys can be insecure about. So I do like to voice my opinion on that because I do think that
back hair would be too much for me.
Tanya's fine with it.
Oh, you're into that.
I'm not into it. I'm not like, oh, bring on the back hair. Oh. But if it's there, like, it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I like people like you. It actually happened. Yeah. And you know when all this happened was right before the show. I was getting ready to groom myself for night one. One of the executive producers came in, along Gail, and he said, what are you about to do? I was like, I'm going to shave my chest and my body. And then I asked, how can I do this when on the road? Like, am I going to have the clippers to do this on the road? And he goes, yeah, I guess. He goes, but here's the thing. What if you just, from night one on, you set the standard that, like, you're not going to shave your chest? Like, you have to be okay with that now because you can't regret this later. But what if you just tried to change the way men groom themselves?
Yeah.
And I said, that sounds like a lot easier to me. So we just went with it. So from night one on, I never trimmed. You just
left that oasis ready.
Just
left
that
for the girls. Ready
just
for
the out of curiosity, so you trim it. You don't shave it. Do you trim it?
Yeah, every once in a while. It matters the scenario. I mean,
like at a four guard?
Yeah, like a four. It's
that's sick that I know that.
Yeah,
It's Ryan. Yeah, he shaves his shins at a three.
His shins at so it's a four. It is a four on a straight like electrical razor.
This is riveting combo for our listeners.
Oh, is it not?
I don't know. Maybe they want to hear. Maybe they want their guys to know how to do it the way
just
Ben
like Ben.
Yeah.
I'm taking some notes over here. There's no grooming whatsoever on this.
On this, no. Yeah. There is this way too, that you could do like different lengths to make yourself look like you have abs. Mm. I do know people that do that, really short
contouring.
Yeah, contouring on the stomach and then a little longer on top, so it makes your chest look bigger, your abs look smaller. People do that. I just go four all the way top bottom. Take me about 5 seconds. I'm good to go. You know, a little hair down the drain. Move on.
Wow,
clean the sink.
Great. Nice.
I have some Ask a Guy questions since Ben's here.
Yeah,
right. Fire away.
Just not solicited. I picked them from the Facebook group that have been posted.
Love it.
Maddie wanted to know and ask a guy a question, and this actually ties in nicely with what we're talking about. How do guys really feel about being intimate with women who have not waxed or shaved? I've had men tell me they don't care. Other men say they prefer a wax. I need to know.
Oh, that's a great question. I particularly don't care. So when you say shaved, I'm assuming like the pubic region, not like the legs, right?
I think that's what she means. Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, in today's age, I still would have a hard time with like hairier legs.
Evolved as we become, still a bugaboo.
That's still a bugaboo. That. Yeah. Yeah, it is. That would still be something that threw me off, even though I bet, and I, you know, have been in a loving relationship, you get over it. Like, it's not that big a deal. Once you love somebody, you're like, come on. Like, I would prefer this, but not a big deal. But if, like, you're talking about, I think that's like a hookup thing, it still would be an issue with me.
As far as the armpits and
armpits
the legs.
Armpits and the legs.
As far as the bikini area is whatever.
No problem.
And that's my opinion, too. Because deep down in every guy is a 14-year-old boy who can't imagine that one day he might be able to be intimate with a woman. Oh. That's the most exciting thing he can even imagine. So when it's happening, we are so excited to be there. Yeah. And the fact that it's happening, we don't really worry about other stuff like that.
No.
We're not judging. We're not grading. We're not critiquing. We're just so happy to be there.
That's great to know. Thank you all
for
that.
Well, you're welcome.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I think that you, or I can't remember if it was you or somebody else, but I wax. I'm like an avid waxer. So every single month I wax. So for like 2 weeks, I'm like, I do it for myself because I'm clearly not in a relationship right now. But everyone says, what do you do the last 2 weeks when you like have hair grow back? And I'm like, well, it's just a little bit of hair and it's fine. And I was like, the person that I'm intimate with doesn't care. You know what I mean? Like everyone thinks it's like this big thing to have like a little bit of hair down there. And I'm like, it's really just...
Just the thing. It's not that big a deal. Yeah. So yeah, I would say that would be a very, very low turn off on my list.
Good to know. Danielle is wondering if guys overthink as much as we do. And this is a pretty standard ask a guy because girls think they're the only ones who obsess over texts and what words he sent and what did he mean by that, and they overanalyze. Do guys do that as well?
I mean, I think so. I think we like to stereotype each to be super incredibly different. I don't think guys hang on to it maybe as long. Mm-hmm. And so what I mean, so like a text comes through, it doesn't seem like what you want it to be. I think you would, I've met more women that I've dated now in the last year and a half, and that hasn't been a lot, but even just texting back and forth that are a lot more direct than I ever remember 6-7 years ago when I was like in college, like where they'll be like, all right, what's actually going on? Are you really into me? Or are you just like, Tanya, are we friends or are we not? Mm-hmm. No, we're friends, Tanya. Like, I love you dearly.
No discounts over here.
No. But I don't think we're that far off from each other.
Kelsey posted an ask a guy. He's 39, she's 29, and they just don't do it. It's been 2.5 years, and she can count on 2 hands the number of times the magic has happened. Is low libido with a guy a normal thing, or is there something else going on here?
I mean, the question there, like, there's a little bit like morals and values, and is there any religious like reasons? Or, you know, I know it's been a crazy week the last 2 weeks where I've been exposed to a couple, and we did this on Almost Famous too, where there's been a lot of trauma and pain when it comes to physical intimacy and sex that has caused people to push back. And I think we're hearing about it more and more, and people are talking about it, and we're realizing why people aren't entering into being intimate with their partner. I would say if you've been together 2.5 years and you love that person, there is something going on there. And if there's no like conscious choice where as partners you said, hey, we're not going to have sex, or hey, like this is still a reminder to me. If you're not just talk, if like there's no agreement and you aren't clear on it, first talk about it. And second, like there does seem to be an issue.
Yeah.
Her concern is that he's getting it from someone else or watching adult videos.
I mean, I think that's a fair concern.
It is a fair concern.
But again, maybe I'm crazy, but if you're in a loving relationship for 2.5 years, talk to him about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very easy question to say, I want to be this person for you. Like, I'm missing this part of our relationship. Are you getting it somewhere else? Or are you doing something to satisfy yourself? If so, how can I become that? Or how can we replace that with me?
Mm-hmm.
How can we get physical together? I think that's a very easy and fair conversation. Not an easy conversation. I think it's a fair conversation to have.
Absolutely. Alicia, what's the best way for a single girl to get a guy's attention? Maybe it's someone you see in real life and don't know them. Is it a pickup line, a smile, sliding into their DMs, asking them out, buying them a drink? She says, help a modern woman out, please.
Yeah.
Love well, it.
Yeah.
We talked about this, sliding into the DMs at the AMAs.
Mm-hmm.
That you were like, well, we were just talking about it and you were like, I've never done it. Mm-hmm. And so like, do I try? Like what's, You were like, what if they don't respond, or what if they're not into it?
I'm worried about that because of the document. Like, I'm worried that it will come back to bite me. It's like, it. I still
something
get
in writing.
Yeah, something in writing. I still have the just a fear of rejection. I know I do, and so putting myself out there like that seems tough. But we were at the AMAs, and it was everybody was talking about how they've met on DMs, or they've talked through DMs, or that's how they connect with people today. And I was like, I've never done it. I didn't even know there's a world that was acceptable. But they're like, of course it is. You just DM somebody. If you find them, you like them, you find them on Instagram and you DM them. So I think that's one way. I think it goes both ways. I think the second piece is if you're trying to get a guy's attention, there is nothing, and this is going to be so cliche, but I think it actually has truth to it. There is nothing that is more attractive than when you can tell that a girl is genuinely interested in being authentically themselves. And so if you're interested and you're confident and you're intentional and you're clear, but then you also can see and know that that person is being themselves. They're not trying to impress anything. And the person that you know in that moment is going to be the person that you can build a foundation on to get to know maybe for the next 100 years of your life or whatever. I think that's what attracted me, is when that first interaction, when you know that that's going to be the start of something really special for as long as it can last.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. I think that's really true. And I've said this before, when I was on my first day with my wife and the song Bitch by Meredith Brooks came on the radio, mm-hmm. which was a current song at the time. And she started singing to it at the top of her lungs on our first date. And I thought, wow, this girl does not care. Mm. Like, she is who she is. And it's a song about I'm a bitch.
Yeah.
But she's singing it like it's her anthem. And she loved that song. Yeah. And I found that so endearing.
Yeah.
That she's just herself. That's who she is. And that's what's so great about Tanya. That's what everyone loves about Tanya.
Yeah. I remember that's what you asked Dean, because when Dean took me out that first date, we went to this concert and I was like jamming out like my normal self. I was just like rocking out. And Mark was like, did you find that
endearing or
crazy? <Maybe not. laughs> And he was like, I was into it.
Yeah.
That's a great like story to prove that point. Mm-hmm. Right there is like the perfect story that is like the base of what I was trying to say for all that.
She denies it. Oh, it wasn't our first date. Yes, it was. I remember very well that was our first date.
You have recalled that.
She can't even believe she did that.
I was going to say, though, before you slide into somebody's DM, make sure you have a friend in common, because that is
that's great advice.
That's how I actually met and started dating the last guy that I dated, and that ended not great. So from that, I decided that now anybody that I date has to have one person connected to me so that they can vouch.
So interesting that that's our standard today too. Like that you can actually tell if you know one person in common via social media. Like 10, 15 years ago, we would have never known if we had mutual friends and so we talked about
it.
Yeah. No, it is interesting.
I was going to ask this because I know this is what a lot of the listeners are thinking right now, so I'm going to put it out there. Everyone right now listening is thinking, wow, Tanya and Ben just seem perfect for each other. Mm. They're both very genuine people. They're both very kind people. They really like to give back. They're very much people of faith. What's happening? How come this hasn't gone any further than it has? Because, God darn it, it sure seems like it should.
Mm. God darn it.
God darn it. Bugaboo.
Golly darn. My response. Well, do you want to respond first?
No, you can go first.
Okay.
Generous.
Just giving is my middle name.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Ben. We get that a lot. Every time I come, like every time there's an interaction between Tanya and I, it pops up. And I get why, right? But I think that Tanya's need and like her effort into relationships is something that I don't necessarily, like I don't connect on my phone very often. Like I do take time away from myself. I think that would have been maybe the first sign that, oh, this is a really good friendship. Not romantically could I satisfy the needs that Tanya has. And not a bad way. Just like I am a lot more, I just have to be alone a lot more. Like, and I think like for me to isolate myself from the world is really important. And so if I want to be the best version of myself when I enter into the world, I have to know that in that time that I have away, I am away. And so I think that would be one thing that I'd say that could be an issue. If we were on a date, I'd be like, what do you think about that?
Will that always be the case with you? Like,
I don't know.
You find the one, maybe you'd want to get away with her.
I don't know. That's actually a question that I don't know how to answer. I mean,
right.
when I was living with Lauren, there'd be moments, and she was great about it, that I would have to get away for an afternoon, like drive to the mountains and read or whatever. And I don't think she took it offensively, but it was really important that I did that so that when I came back into the household, that I was the best person I could be for her, because I knew that the more and more that I was around people, I always felt like there was something I had to satisfy. And so I was getting tireder and tireder. So for me to get away was important. But I mean, Lauren and I went on a couple of vacations and it was like the best vacations I've ever had. Like to have that person with you, that partner with you to explore and to eat out with and to just, you know, do whatever. It was awesome. But that was the first time in my life that that had been the case. So I think that'd be the first thing. We'd have to talk through that.
Yeah, that'd be the first obstacle. Yeah. The first challenge. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. How do we get through this?
How do we get through this?
It is interesting, though, because a lot of people think because I am this way that I, like, am always with people. But I do actually recharge on my own. Like, I'm now living alone, and I love it so much. I never thought I would, like, be this happy.
That's interesting.
It is.
I didn't know you lived alone.
Yeah. Newly.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm like kind of obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Like,
but so
thriving.
What is your response to the question about you two?
Okay. My response. Honestly, I did have a crush on you a while ago. And I feel like I told Becca about it, but it was like at a weird time where you just like weren't, your eyes weren't really open to anything. You were kind of still just like, not in a great place. So I think I just kind of turned that key off. And this is kind of what I do with guys. Like, you weren't interested. So then I just kind of put you in the friend box and just put you there. And that's it.
That makes sense.
Tanya has a hard time switching that, putting that switch back. When she puts somebody in the friend box, they tend to stay in the friend box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want somebody that because I did have a crush on you and I didn't get that back. I was like, oh, well, I don't want someone that doesn't want me. So then I just kind of was like, meh.
That makes sense. That does make sense. And I would fully agree that, I mean, I think you both were around for a while. Mark and Easton were around for all that. My eyes were completely shut for a good solid year. Like, not even interested, not even, like, capable of talking, not even desiring to find a relationship. Everybody, are you moving on? Are you okay? And I was like, I'm good. I just know that this is the place I need to be at. Mm-hmm. I could see that being completely true, is if you did find any interest, it was like, but he's just a walking, talking, uninterested man in anything right now. He's a sad sack. He's a sad sack. That, you know, I listened to the podcast last week, and your breakup song, your lyrics, unbelievable, first off. That is a banger.
Banger.
But I wonder...
Just a refresher.
But I get what you're saying, because I think I was like a mess of a human for probably a good year after that. Like, I went through like the phase of like going crazy, where I was just like hot mess express, and then I went through the phase of like being sad. So then I think that was like a full year.
Well, when a couple of months ago, I said something on the podcast about how I would like Tanya to not date somebody in the bachelor world. I'd like her to think outside that box and go outside the bachelor. And a bunch of people on the Facebook group said to me, well, what about Ben Higgins? And of course, my response was, oh, well, yeah. I mean, that'd be great. But
yeah, but that was the thing.
We can't have everything. I mean,
yeah, that was nice, Mark. But yeah, it makes sense now, because it, you know, it would have been in. I guess it didn't make sense on why we didn't at least go on a date. You know, like back in the day, if there was any interest and we both knew it, why there wasn't a date back then. But I just wasn't. I just don't think I was interested. I still don't know where I'm at with that. Mm-hmm. I'm more and more confident in my singleness than ever before. Like, and confident in that, like, feel good about it. Not even ashamed of it. Just able to live in it. Excited about what's next. That new chapter, whatever that is, which makes me think. Just based on the life that I've lived so far, that when I got really confident in my singleness, something's about to explode. Like, singleness will no longer be an option. I don't know. You know? How, like, when you get really comfortable with something, and then it's like, no, we're going to pull you away from it. So I don't know what's next.
Well, Tanya had her tarot card reading, and she was told that somebody she already knows is going to be the person for her, and she's going to realize it. She's going to realize it in May.
In May.
So...
And what? That's such a long time away.
I was going to say, what are you going to do, Tanya, till May?
Like, Ben, figure your stuff out by May.
No, it's interesting because, like, 3 weeks ago, it was, like, all this craziness. Because I think, like, because I have been, like, I'm very vocal about being single and dating. And the last guy that I dated, I was like, this could be it. And, like, you know what I mean? Just, it's just been, like, a roller coaster. So a couple weeks ago, I was like, just all these guys, like, just, it was just, like, really hectic. And Brad, one of my best friends, was like, Tanya, like, all these guys that you're dealing with right now, they're not your guys. Like, you need to just, like, it's hectic energy. Like, you need to just, like, be done. You're moving, like, out on your own. You need to just, like, stop. And so I think I, like, mindfully just at that point kind of, like, snapped and was like, because I haven't really been interested. I haven't not really.
Yeah, it hasn't been, like, a focus.
No, not at all. And I think it was funny because we did this tarot card thing for Halloween, and she starts flipping everything, and everything was career. It was like all, it was like this crazy career card stuff, like crazy, like really spot on with some stuff. And then there was one card, and it had to do with, it was a guy that is in my life right now, not in this city. That was the thing.
But yeah. Ben's in Denver most of the time.
And so she flipped it over, and she was like, Becca, it was like,
I'm like living over here.
Then, like, of course, I'm like, no, let's just breeze by it, because I like, I wanted to hear about my career, because that's like where I'm at right now, you know? So she flips that one over, and then all the girls, the Sisney and the producers and like Sierra, and everyone's like, no, 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 we need to ask about the guy, ask about the guy. So then she like does these other things, and she goes, it's going to happen. It's somebody that you know in your life. But he has to figure something out. And then around May, I swear, I'm not even making this up. Around May, it's gonna come to a head, and you're going to know, like, it's all going to make sense in May.
But the other element to this is that she knows the initials of the person, don't you? Or an initial?
I know
she won't
an
tell
initial.
Anyone. She won't tell anyone what the initial is.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want to jinx it. Or
I don't know, because it's just
No, I understand that. Yeah. I get that.
Whoa.
So that's cool.
May. I'm just going to be waiting around here in yeah. May. Honestly, though, Tanya, I was thinking about this last week when I was up all night. I went into this place of just really deep thinking. And I started thinking, like, obviously we always talk about, like, you're going to find your guy, whatever. Like, that's, but you're such a, I was just thinking about how like much of an example and like a champion you are for single women who are in their same phase of their life right now, and how like having someone like you to like see and think like when they're struggling or not feeling confident and like not being with someone, to have someone like you who's successful in her career and has amazing friends and is doing like really well in her life. Like, that's your purpose right now. Yeah, totally. Because, like, the people that you're reaching being single right now, you wouldn't be able to reach them if you were in a relationship.
I totally agree. I've had so many people, like, I mean, it's, like, insane, some of the messages that I get. And I just, like, cry. Because I'm, like, I think it's weird, too, because a lot of people, a lot of women that are single, they get, they're not, it's not an insecurity, but it's, like, they feel like they can't stay in on a Friday night. Like, I love staying in on a Friday night. Like, I'm single, and I could care less. Like, I love staying home on a Friday night by myself, cleaning my makeup brushes. And it's so weird how just little things like that people can really like cling on to and be like, I love that you're single, and yet you don't have to be like out at a bar on a Friday trying to meet someone. And I'm like, because I think that it's all going to happen when it's supposed to happen. I have a bigger faith and trust in something bigger. So I'm like, I don't have to go out of my way to do something that I really don't want to do. Like,
To force it.
Yeah. So thanks, Becca.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, I was just thinking, I'm like, that's where you're at right now. And you're like reaching a lot more people than if you were in a relationship. I think you're like doing a lot of like really cool things for people that is like what you're doing, right? Like, it's a part of your life. But
and like, I thought at this point, I thought I would be married for 4 years at this point. Like, I fully was like,
yeah, I was like married with two kids by like,
now.
Maybe I would have had four at this
and
point.
And I've done things in my, like, even living alone, I never in a million years thought I would live alone. And the fact that I'm like capable of doing that on my own and want to do it on my own is like really crazy. Like, if you would have asked Tanya at 24 if she'd be doing this right now, I would be like, what? No way. I'm going to have two babies by now, you know? So it's really weird. It's really weird because the things that I'm doing that I never even thought were in the cards.
Well, yeah. And this is your story, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not going to always go how we predict, but it's a beautiful story that will all make sense in the end. And it's just crazy to see how it's playing out.
Okay.
Tanya, you really are a light to everybody at iHeart. There is not one person in here who has not been affected in some way by you. The best part about Tanya to me, and maybe I just see her, you know, once every week when I fly in or whatnot, is that when you enter into a room, people get more joyful than if you weren't there. Like, there is this tangible like joy that enters in with you. And so I think that's like a message that needs to be spread.
I told you, you're like human sunshine.
That's
so
true.
Nice. Yeah.
And you said also earlier that Tanya brings something to entertainment that nobody else brings.
Yeah.
And that's really true.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And consistently, not just like for the first 3 months that she worked. Mm-hmm. It's like, no. This is Tanya. This is intentional. This is her purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened consistently for the time that you've been around. Like, that's unique, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. That's so nice. I feel like I'm like, what's happening?
It's your birthday.
Yeah.
It's your half birthday.
Wow. Well, I
hope you win an award next week. All right.
That'd be nice.
Thank you. Same. It's not so much hope, though. Like, it's when we win the award. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your pre-congratulations. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Ben, they want to talk about periods, so I'm going to give you an opportunity. Do you want to go or stay for this next part?
I'm going to head out. Yep. All right. I'll see you guys.
Ben, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm so glad we got to talk about the Virginia thing. We got to talk about the Tawny thing. We got to talk about the boner thing. Yeah, it was all really special. I feel like you like visibly look lighter.
Yeah,
I do. It's interesting. Now that you repeat it, I feel like a burden's been lifted from coming on this podcast. But as you say that back, I'm like, what did we just talk about? And how far did we take this?
It wasn't that far.
It wasn't good.
Elle of America already
saw
it.
I got to go take Lindsay shopping.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to the Palisades. And again, Lindsay has donated her money and time for Humanity and Hope United, which is awesome.
Lindsay, that's awesome.
So thanks to iHeart for setting that up. And Lindsay and I are going to go shop and drop and, I don't know, probably eat ice cream because Lindsay seems like pretty special. So I'm going to eat ice cream for her at the very end of our time together so that I can be somewhere safe afterwards.
Okay. Totally get it.
All right. See you guys.
Bye, Ben.
Bye. I wonder if like any of us are somehow related to Ben Higgins.
Oh, I'd love to be.
I know, right? Do you know how we could find out?
How could we do that?
23andMe.
Yes.
Actually, 23andMe is named after the 23 pairs of chromosomes in your DNA.
But if you're related to them, then you wouldn't be able to date him.
Ew. Oh, that's true. I don't want to be related to him.
Fair enough.
Okay. Their service provides you with over 75 genetic reports about your health, like lactose intolerance and sleep movement traits, your eye color, or hair curl. Actually, I did this and it told me, my spit told me that I was going to be left-handed. How do they know I'm left-handed?
I didn't know you were left-handed.
Yeah.
I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, I'm left-handed. And it said it in my 23andMe results.
That's crazy.
All you have to do is spit into the tube provided and mail it back to the lab. So now they have a new podcast. It's called Spit, and the new podcast from iHeartRadio with 23andMe, it discusses how science and DNA plays a role in society and in our lives and how your DNA story can be experienced today and a whole lot more. So it's the host sits down with the biggest artists and influencers of our time, including Emmy-winning Darren Criss, who we love. Right? Singer John Legend to discuss their own 23andMe. So join us, subscribe to the Spit podcast, learn more about the DNA found in your spit, and understand who we are genetically and how we are connected to the world around us. So listen to full episodes now on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
As we said goodbye to Ben, they took some selfies, and Tanya, who has taken maybe 10,000 selfies in her life, just figured out where to look for the first time ever.
Truly.
I've never seen you not look at the... That was... You were looking, like, off, though. Like,
yeah, it was weird. My eyes never looked that weird.
Like something went awry.
Something did go awry, but I've never looked at the dot before.
the actual camera.
It was almost like you were looking for... Like, almost like you were looking at me and the camera. That's how far over you're at. What were you checking out? What were you interested in?
I guess our symmetry. I don't know, but
I don't like being the one to take the selfie because I feel like I look prettier when someone else takes the selfie.
I just can't get everybody
something
in the frame
when I do
it. Something
about the shape of my face
it.
I don't like when I'm
when you're extending
it.
Your arm,
yeah,
it's your face
something
is affected
just,
by
my, yeah.
Like when I do it, I can't get everybody in the frame.
Well, yeah, because you're in the middle on that one.
And how much better is that?
I did okay on this.
Okay.
Ben is a gem.
Great guy.
Great guy.
Quite a catch for somebody.
He doesn't seem like he's...
Not looking really,
May.
No.
I'm right. Waiting for May.
He'll be ready by May.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Who else do we know from different cities? Like, are there some?
I mean, no. Bobby. But like...
Oh.
Jason Tardik.
Chicago guy.
It said, they did say, like, it might, you know, things would... But for some of those, things would have to take a very serious turn in a different direction. But
yeah.
Never know. There's a lot of time in between now and May.
All right. So for weeks, Tanya's been wanting to talk about periods, and we have some time now. What is it exactly that you would like to say about periods?
So many things. Like so many things.
All right, I'm going to turn my mic off.
You guys, why?
Well, I don't have much to contribute to this.
Oh my gosh. Okay, fine.
I think periods are wonderful. I look forward to them every month.
I just feel like we need to like open the conversation because guys get squirmy about like, I always want to talk about periods on the morning show and Mark's always like, meh.
Well, that's an interesting thing because you're broadcasting to all of Los Angeles.
But it's clinical.
And all ages and families and old and young. And we just have to keep that in mind that some people would not be enjoying that conversation.
But here's, this
show is different.
Like talking about it, if there's something to talk about it is fine. But like, I don't like getting my period. Like, it's not comfortable. I don't, like, thrive when I'm on my period. So I don't like to, like, really talk. I mean, I'm
exactly,
just,
exactly. But that's the thing. Like, we're all not thriving when we're on our period, but we all get them.
I know,
so
but,
like
me
let's
not
talk about
but
it.
But me not talking about it isn't because I'm scared or embarrassed about it. Or it's literally because I'm already on it. I don't want to talk about being on it.
So I get, like, really tired around my period. Like,
exhausted.
The last thing I want to do is work
anything.
Out or anything like anything like that. And so it really takes a lot. Like I literally have to sit there and be like, Tanya, you can do this. And I will literally stand there and just say, Tanya, you can do this.
I get like the day before mine, I am so irritable. I almost punted Phoebe off of the balcony because she is fully potty trained in my apartment. And she looked at me. She got, I guess, was mad at me and looked at me in the eye and peed on my carpet. And I,
when they look you in the eye and do it,
man. It was so disrespectful. and like the I would have been upset anyway, but I'm normally pretty chill most of the time. The level of anger I felt, I was like, oh, I'm about to start my period. And I started my period the next day.
It's true. Becca can really call it. Like you have really, you're really in tune with your emotions.
Yeah, because when I start feeling like things are bothering me that shouldn't bother me, I'm like, I think I can blame this on my period.
Yeah. You get irritable. I get really emotional. I'm super emotional around my period.
You're emotional all the time.
That's true. But it's heightened around my period.
Do y'all's wives get different? Like, are they, do they act out?
I don't really notice much difference. And that's certainly not something I would call attention to if I did. That doesn't seem like a good move for a guy
to
say.
You mean to be like, are you
on your
period?
Yeah. Is that time? Yeah, that's not nice. And that's not a good thing to say. No, I don't really notice much of that.
That's good.
Yeah. How much pain do you experience on a monthly basis? Because that seems to be a wide range.
Yeah.
Some women, it's no big deal, but some women are down for the count.
Mine's like the first day I'm like uncomfortable and cramping, but if I take Midol, it'll go away. I have friends who literally can't do, like they're, like you said, they're down for the count, heating pads. Some of them have to go to the hospital sometimes. Like it can get really bad.
I've had days where I need like a heating pad plus Motrin plus all the things.
It sounds horrible. I always feel so bad because men don't go through this, you know, and Allison and I, she probably hates that I'm bringing this up. We used to work at a movie theater together and she would come in with one of those hot water bottles, like the kind you see in a cartoon, like the big rubber ones. She'd come with one of those just kind of like by her side. And it was felt like very like depression era. But she's like, I need this. I am in so much pain. I felt so bad for her. And
It's just not it's like there's a lot that about it that's not physically comfortable. And on top of that, you do feel like mentally like you're just irritable and you feel exhausted.
And you're like losing parts of yourself. Like I truly feel like I'm losing parts of myself when I feel like I'm being drained when I'm on my period.
That's what's happening.
I know.
Yeah, things. Or that's what's happening.
Oh, nobody wants to have this conversation.
It's like if I was like, it was like when we talked about Olive Garden and you're like, why are we talking about Olive Garden?
Because
it's, I want
to
talk about
Olive
Garden.
Yeah.
It's
like, when you're there, your family.
Part of our lives.
When you're there, your family. But it's like, I mean, yeah, we all get them. For the most part, I would just think that they suck. I guess unless you are not trying to get pregnant, it's very exciting to get your period.
Okay.
You know?
Well, you know what? Then let's
have you had that when you're like, oh, thank God. Have you had those moments?
When I get my period?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. Like, I would do the deal with God.
Yeah,
you know, the
right,
deal
right,
with
right.
God prayer. Like, if I get my period, I will blah, 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 blah. So we can table this. We can throw it to listeners to shout us out if there's anything about periods
like
that you guys...
specific topics.
Specific
it's
topics.
It's hard to just really...
Generic, yeah.
If there's tampons are the industry standard, right? Pads don't seem as common. And I'm sorry for my ignorance.
No, that's not ignorant at all, actually. I know one woman that we work with that only uses pads.
Really?
Yes.
I also know people who, because of the like chemicals and stuff that tampons are soaked in, won't use them and will only use pads. I could never because... Yeah.
That sounds like torture.
Torture.
What's wrong with pads? It's just there's too
You're
much
just, like,
bulk?
You're just like stewing in your own filth.
Yeah. Do you remember wearing a diaper as a young child? Yeah.
It feels like that?
Yeah.
What about the Diva Cup? Where do you stand on that?
I've never tried it. Oh, yeah. If you're our listeners, if you've tried it, weigh in. Yeah. Weigh in here.
Weigh in. We'd like to know what you want to, what would you like to talk about with period.
And we see commercials where they have wings on the pads. I don't even know what that is.
That's so that they like you can fold them and they stick and stay in place on
knew it. I always thought that's what they were for.
Oh, nice, Easton. Good job.
Back home in Santa Cruz, I went over to a young lady's house and I opened her refrigerator and I saw a mason jar full of a liquid, and I understood that some people keep the discharge and they cook with it.
Actually, like, I'm going to vomit.
They cook with it?
Cook with it. This is a very, very hippy-dippy thing to do. Oh. And I immediately canceled my plans to have spaghetti and meatballs that night at her house. But that's crazy, right? Like, I mean, I don't want to judge.
Listen, I cannot tell if you're kidding or not.
I'm not kidding. This is 100% serious. 100%
Can I tell
serious.
You, I have heard that this is a thing. If you put some of your period blood, if you put it in your guy's food and he eats it, he'll marry you. Why is that funny?
Why is that funny?
I hope that the guy in May is. I hope he's not listening.
I'm not saying I have tried this, but I have encouraged people to do it.
It just became May of 2027.
Yeah. No, wait, what?
It was May of 2019.
Just kept getting pushed back.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Gonna get pushed
yeah,
back.
Yeah, she didn't say
bit.
What year.
Oh my goodness.
She did.
I know. I was.
Well, Easton took it to a dark place, but yeah. I think we can wrap it up.
You know, I love where Easton took it. It was educational.
Indeed, it was. We need to thank some people. Let's thank Care of Vitamins. Get 25% off your first month of personalized Care of Vitamins. Visit takecareof.com and enter
Tilly.
Beachbody On Demand. Our listeners can get a special free trial membership, including their new 14-day results plan, where you can lose up to 9 pounds in the first 2 weeks. A pound and a half a day, we figured out.
A pound, 0.4 a day.
1.4 a day. Yeah. When you text Becca to 303030, what do you text to 303030?
Becca!
Audible. Remember, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. Go to audible.com/BeccaT or text BeccaT to 500-500. Talkspace. Go to talkspace.com/Becca and use the code Becca to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show here. Scrubbing In with Becca and Tanya. That's talkspace.com/Becca. And 23andMe, their news podcast, Spit. Listen to full episodes now on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, we got some food brought in today for Teddy Mellencamp and the whole group that came in and worked out with her.
That's right.
I don't know where to begin. Luna Grill. Phenomenal.
Yes. I have to say, I ate their, like, I think it was the veggie kebab. Delicious.
Well, that's the thing, is you can incorporate healthy eating into your lifestyle at Luna Grill. It's a cross between fast casual and full service sit down. I feel like that's where we're going. That's a trend. That's where you want to be. Luna Grill combines the best of both worlds, giving diners the option of orders to go, deliver via online, Postmates, DoorDash, whatever you need. Healthy Mediterranean food, Luna Grill.
Also, it was delicious.
The Luna Grill app. Also, the Great Dane Baking Company.
Okay. Can I tell you that this is my family's, like, local bakery?
Really?
Yes. They provided the cake for our Scrubbing In vote party that we had in Santa Monica. And I was like, this cake is beautiful, first of all. It was gorgeous, gigantic.
That's the thing about cake. It needs to taste great. It needs to look great.
Yes. And they taste delicious. But they really do an extraordinary job of making them look so good. So when I found out, it's in Los Alamitos.
And Huntington Beach and Laguna Niguel. They make amazing custom cakes, wedding cakes, pastries. They're best known, of course, for their blue velvet cake and their bear claws.
True. Like, truly, what a gem, this Great Dane Baking
Also,
company.
Thank you to Think Thin. They sent over their protein and probiotics hot oatmeal. Great taste, 1 billion CFUs of live probiotics, 6 grams of fiber, 10 grams of protein in each bowl. The energy to start your day supports your wellness. They got cinnamon almond, maple pecan, blueberry harvest, and grocery stores are online at thinkproducts.com.
And Mark, what do the both of us eat every single morning? Oatmeal.
We eat oatmeal every day.
Every day
we eat oatmeal.
Yeah.
And Teddy Mellencamp. What can you say about her?
Well, I mean, there's not enough time. But the All In by Teddy, the 30-minute cardio workout, is all about taking charge of your fitness anytime, any place. And with two different impact levels in one video, you can decide which is perfect for you. So I love Teddy, support her, and I think you guys should too.
30-minute cardio.
Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Do that every day and thank her later.
Thank her later. Or if you want to get extra credit, do it twice.
Nice.
Full
good
hour.
Call. Good call. Mm-hmm. 60-minute cardio.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Anyways, thank y'all. We have had some big shows.
Big.
Like, I am like so proud of this podcast. I've been proud of this podcast since day one. Since day one. But obviously once Tanya came on, it really became an element of like this could really be something. And so these past few weeks have made me realize like, I know we have the People's Choice nomination and we're going to win. It's going to be awesome. But like beyond that, we're doing something really cool here.
Ryan and Seacrest, like, Sarah Drew, Justin Brunig, James Maslow, the Lady Gang, Peak scrubbing in.
Peak.
Teddy Mellencamp.
Ben Higgins.
Juliana Rancic's going to come
I'm
on.
I'm hearing rumors of this.
Mm-hmm. And like Ryan Seacrest asked to be on our
podcast.
He did.
He did indeed.
Yeah.
So, like, now we can be like, Ryan Seacrest asked to be on our podcast. Do you want to be on it?
Yeah, would you like to be on it, too?
Yeah. You know, like, we have some leverage here.
Yeah, yeah, we should get audio of him asking and just, like, send that to people in boxes.
But anyways, I'm proud to work with y'all, and I'm really proud of this podcast. It's really just, like, something that feels,
right,
like, right, and that we're doing something bigger than just talking about periods every week and other things.
I agree with your sentiment, Becca Tilly. And I think that we are all better people for having you in our lives.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I'm really thriving in my 30s.
That's so right.
Far, so a weekend. So yeah. Far, so good. I think we haven't really gotten to do... Well, we did a lot of Ask It Guys with Ben, so that
we
that
did, yeah,
emails.
But keep the emails coming. scrubbingin@iheartmedia.com. We'll get to a bunch of them next week.
Next week I'd like to talk more about Grey's. I had some breakthroughs with storylines that I'm interested in. So.
Me too.
Good. Back
Wait,
to
we
it.
We need to talk to that. Yeah. Do you want to call? I called it last week, so it's up to you.
1504. Time of death, 1504. You're going to get rusty when you don't do it for a couple weeks.